Theme of the book of James is spiritual maturity or spiritual endurance. And we have to be wise as we're enduring things in life. James chapter 3. Let's see how your wisdom is going. A soft answer turneth away
wrath.
That's wisdom. And maybe on the next presidential debate, they can learn that. Be a much wiser occasion, wouldn't you say? And that's about all I want to say about that. Nothing else. Okay. James 3:13. I have a picture that Joan Yost's neighbor, John Green, who photographs for the Little League. He didn't photograph this year. That's a bummer, right? But Lord willing, be photographing next year. He goes out and takes pictures of horses out in the field and red barns. He likes old red barns. And by the way, did you know the number one picture, I think, is in the world as far as computers are concerned? It's the default setting. You've probably seen it. I think it's still on my one at home. Got the clouds, blue sky, and rolling green hill. And just one word is the title. Over millions and millions of people have seen that picture. A photographer took it and he entitled it Bliss. He just saw that as a peaceful scene, and that's the backdrop for many of your computers. Now you'll be looking for that, won't you? Gregory's already Googling it, checking it out. No, you're not. No. Okay, he will. Ray, you know the picture I'm talking about, Ray?
Yeah.
That default?
I forget what version of Windows it was.
Yeah, one of the Windows versions. That's right, yeah. So. And so John took one of these pictures where some horses were inside a gate. Now, is a horse stronger outside of the gate or in the gate?
Outside.
Is a horse stronger outside the gate or inside the gate? This is called what kind of question, Gregory? A loaded question. It's the same.
One's meek.
One is meekness. Which one is in meekness picture of? The one under control or inside the gate. That's a picture of meekness. Does he have the same strength? Yes. Has the same strength. But when it's under control, can it be used for positive aspects? Answer, yes. And if it's not under control, it can be what? Wild. You ever seen, by the way, it is kind of beautiful when you see horses running wild. Yes or no? But it's not so beautiful when people start running wild. Huh? That's for sure. So we see those pictures. Now, James, we just looked at, focused on one of those thoughts about wisdom under strength. Spiritual endurance. I mean, you got to have it. You got to have wisdom to make it through life. And that just simply means everything that you're facing, you got to come back to God and depend upon God. I spent an hour on a phone with a gentleman who doesn't go to our church, he lives out of state. And he just said to me, I am in such a tailspin with my wife, my kids, my business. You know, there's the blessing of self-employment and the curse of self-employment. John, you know what we're talking about? Okay, John knows what we're talking about. There's some certain freedoms there, and there's also, no one's going to get you out of bed, John, right? It's just going to be you and God. But you still want to eat. You still got to pay stuff, right, Ray? I mean, you got to get up. You got to get going. So wisdom in this passage is endurance, spiritual maturity or endurance. Hey, who can quit? And the answer is anybody can quit. But God actually wants us to go through things in life, drawing from his wisdom and with understanding. So my friend Joan Yost's neighbor took this picture and he put this verse underneath it, James 3:13. The horses in the pen, beautiful, they were like golden brown, long manes, just beautiful horses. Strength under control. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth tonight. Lord, we cry out to you for wisdom. So many decisions need to be made in our life. Some have just entered into taking care of their parents. Others have their first grandchild or grandchildren. Newly married. Folks thinking about getting married. Missionaries. Who to support, who not to support. We have a dear brother coming soon, Brother David Rudolph. We just ask your blessing on him and Julie. Thank you for their faithful work, dear Lord, for so many years. We ask, dear Lord, that you would give us wisdom. We don't know what the next thing we'll be facing tomorrow, but we know that you'll be there. And we can draw from your wisdom. You said if we lack it, which means we do at times, when we realize it, we can ask you and ask you to give us wisdom. We want you to control our lives. We don't want to be wild like horses uncontrolled, but we want to be governed by you, Lord, and be a blessing and a use to you and advance your kingdom. Please allow someone to get saved soon, dear Lord, and added to this church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So on our papers tonight then, spiritual maturity or endurance is the theme of the book of James. Every believer should be growing in wisdom and understanding. But if I ask for a show of hands of those who consider yourself to be wise, how many of you would raise your hand? Now don't raise your hand. Don't say anything, okay? Not sure how to answer that, right? For instance, if you raise your hand, others may think you're proud. Or if you don't raise your hand, others might think that you live as a fool. So you're kind of a rock and a hard place whether or not to raise your hand. How many of you hope to be wise? How about that? Can we get a hand raising on that one? Okay. Well, the Lord says we can be wise in decision making. And we're going to have to endure through things with our choices of depending upon the Lord. Because he always tests us. If we depend upon him, he'll test that faith. Look at Proverbs 1:7. We'll just look at these verses tonight. We'll come back to James pretty soon there, so don't lose that spot. So this friend of mine says to me, when I start losing my way and not sure what to do on decisions, he's trying to figure out whether or not to buy a small farm. And I understand a small farm's 200 or 300 acres. I didn't realize. Small farm. Large, mediums are like 500, and then you can get into thousands of acres on some of these larger places. I went... What's it called? Nipponos Valley? What's the? Nipponos? You know, I've lived here, 22 years or so? I've never been through that. And I drove with my neighbor helping him. You know, he's one of these poor guys that owns a cabin. I feel so sorry for him. You know what I mean? A couple houses. So anyways, he wanted to help him move something, you know. So it's in that valley. So we drove. I thought, wow, you can just see. I said, how far do you think that is? He said, oh, 3 or 4 miles. And I mean, that guy cut that line all the way down, you know, the crops. I'm like, that guy's pretty good, you know. It had to be done on the machine, I imagine. But just for driving, you could see how well he cut those furrows, and for a long, long way, way down there. So this is a beautiful place, you know. But what about cutting wisdom into our hearts? Look at Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So let me ask you a question. Who doesn't need wisdom and instruction? Who doesn't need that? And of course the answer is everybody needs wisdom and instruction. And as we take it from the Lord, we'll be wise. And as we don't take it from the Lord, of course we will be foolish. Is there a need for seeking wisdom from God continually? And there is. Go back to James. There is the need to seek the Lord for wisdom continually. James 1:5. This is a simple condition assumed to be true in the Greek language. If and it is not. If and it is. And then if and it may be. This one is if and it is true. Okay? Those are the three conditions in Greek when you see if on there. This one is if, and it is assumed to be true. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, and what's the assumption? We do lack wisdom at times. Let him ask of God. That's the remedy. That giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Upbraideth simply means to hold it back. He won't hold back wisdom from you if you ask him to give it to you. Paul describes one of the chief characteristics of an unbeliever who rejects the truth about God, his creative power and his revelation of the gospel, and then turn around and proclaim themselves to be wise. He said they're actually becoming what? Fools. So look at that one, Romans chapter 1. We can look at verse 21 first of all. Because that when they knew God, that's just simply man in general, they made a choice. They glorified him not as God. That's dangerous. Neither were thankful. That's an attitude of heart, unthankfulness. But became vain or conceited in their imaginations. In other words, they thought of their own thoughts higher than God's thoughts. And their foolish heart was darkened, meaning they lacked understanding. Have you ever heard someone say you're walking in the dark? That just simply means you're lacking understanding. And here was the manifestation. Professing themselves to be wise, that is apart from God, they became what? Fools. Yeah. That's a tough one, isn't it? So let's look back on our papers here. So what is this wise and understanding person? A wise person is someone who takes the knowledge of God's truth and applies it to life. For instance, I was also talking to you get on some people, you talk to them, you've known them for a long time, and what do you talk about? You talk about everything. Wife, kids, as a man, and all this other stuff, work. And so, he says, how do you handle your wife? I said, very loosely, very loosely. No. Very roughly, very roughly. You think I said that, Edith? No, I didn't say that. I said, I don't always do it. I don't always do it. Good clarifier. I said, but if I think I'm losing my way, in how to treat my wife, I always can go back to the Bible and it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and do that honey-do list. That's what it means. Give yourselves for them. That's what it means. So that's finding your way back to wisdom. And he says, now, everybody's adults here, right? No little kids around. He says, now, how do you love your wife? I said, start in the morning. Don't wait till you warm up to the idea around noon or 3. How many ladies think that's good advice? Start showing love to your wife right at the get-go. Wow, so. He said, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. I said, yep. Always go back to drawing strength from the Lord. So a wise person is someone who takes the knowledge of God's truth and applies it to life, like Christ and his love for the church and your marriage. So in biblical terminology, knowledge might allow you to take things apart, but wisdom enables you to put things together. I hate to admit this, Kent, but I was in automotive repair in high school. Yeah, did you have a class like that when you were in school? Automotive, small engine repair. Anybody ever have small engine repair here? Wow, we were living the life in North Carolina then, you know. We had small engine repair, and I think I might have been in 9th, 10th grade or something like that. And I had a discovery. I had an enlightenment. It was not an epiphany. It was not an appearance of the Lord. I came to the realization that I am not mechanically inclined. I was okay with taking things apart, but I had no clue how to put it back together. And we were some poor boys, too. You don't have to record this, John, but how did we clean up the grease off of our hands and everything like that? Oh, no, Gojo. Anybody know what Gojo is? Hand degreaser, how about that? Did that help you? We didn't have the money for that, so it was a... That's a lot cheaper, you know. So that's how the old poor boys did their automotive, wiping up the grease off their hand. Just a good old little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, kind of funny. Wisdom gives you understanding how to put things together, and we're talking about our life. So a wise person, again, is someone who takes the knowledge of God's truth and applies it to life. So in biblical terminology, knowledge might allow you to take things apart, but wisdom enables you to put things together. The word understanding used to describe someone who was becoming a specialist in some field or study. I mean, they understood what was going on, okay? Here it refers to one who is skilled at practicing wisdom. So wisdom is knowing and applying the truth, while understanding is becoming skilled at practicing the truth. We have an illustration like driving a car. You know over time that there are a lot of unexpected twists and turns in life that you're going to have to learn to navigate through with God's help. You should be a better driver now than when you first started. That's because you've learned some wisdom. Maria blames it on me, and I'm sure it was my fault, but when we were doing driver education over at Brodart parking lot, hey, listen, I didn't realize there was like a 2-foot drop-off. And so what was I telling her? Let's give this thing some gas. Learn how to stop and go and circle the parking lot and all this. No one was there. You know, the place was closed up for the day. But when you pull in the Brodart on this one, on the one road, the sides of the road, one of them actually goes down to it and the parking lot lowers. Maybe about 1.5 feet, I would say. So we came cruising across there. I said, yeah, just turn around this spot right here. And that thing dropped. Whoom. And I got some understanding. that there was a drop off there. Now, wisdom entered my heart at the same time. How do you know wisdom entered my heart? Because I ain't a-doing that again. That's wisdom. So, you know, next time it was when Joshua's turn, same parking lot. We went the long way and turned around, but we didn't go across the entrance, which we did in Maria, and Baja, as they say, you know. So Maria looked at me and said, "Dad," I said, "what are you doing?" I didn't know what to say. You know, all of a sudden, wham! I said, "what are you doing?" She said, "it's your fault." On the wheel like the white knuckles. So you don't want to go with me in driver education, you know. Oh, well, we learned a little bit better when Joshua came around. Fortunately, it didn't damage the car, but it was an interesting time. But over time, you get a little bit better at driving, right? Unless, of course, I'm giving you the lesson. That's what wisdom does. In life, you learn how to navigate through things by asking the Lord's help. That's wisdom. You know you need the Lord's help and wisdom. Good behavior is part of wisdom and understanding. Good as in what God calls good and in contrast to what God calls bad. So he says, oh, I'm in Romans. I wanted to go back to James. Let's go back to James. So notice the statement, I'll just read it again. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation. This is good behavior. So when God calls something good, we should call it good. That's wise. If God calls something bad, we should call it bad. That's wise. Everybody on the same page there? That's easy, isn't it? But you do know what the world does. The farther it gets away from God, they call good what? Evil. And they call evil good. Isaiah warns that'll happen. And of course, it does happen. Let's go to the second page there. God alone determines what is good and bad, right and wrong, holy or unholy, and righteous or sinful. Everybody agree with that statement? Or does Satan have something to say about it? Who is the authority? God is the authority. God's word. Okay? Go to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians 2. Oh, yeah, we've got time. Okay. Ephesians. We'll take 5 more minutes here. Ephesians chapter 2. And because most ministers are trying to give the gospel as they're preaching their message, they don't always go to verse 10, but we will tonight. I believe everyone here is already a believer. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And right there is where Christ has entered into your heart. What does he begin to do? Well, he owns us. And he's still working on us. We are a work of God. Now, that'll get you going in the morning. I am a work of God. Just look yourself in the mirror of God's word and let God have control. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we're a work of God, and God is working in us to become more like Christ, and he's also working through us. That's good behavior in James 3:13, a good conversation. When did God decide this was going to be the plan? Well, God decided that before the foundation of the world, he decided that. We don't have time to go there. But that's what ordained means. He prepared that ahead of time. He saved you so that you might be willing to serve him with your life. That's what it means. Do good works. Do we do good works to get saved? Answer, no. We are continually looking to do good works because we are saved. All right, back on our papers then. God desires every believer's life to be one prolonged, continued act of good works. Lord, what do you want to do through me today? How about starting the day like that? I've got about 10 things I say. Wouldn't it be great to start the day like that? Have you noticed? It's okay. Just pick one of them and it'll enrich your day. Good works glorify God. That is, they display the excellency or the excellence of his character in us. Matthew 5:16. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is your light? Somebody say, well, I think that's our testimony. That's the skin of it, but what is the heart of it? Your light is the life of Jesus Christ in you. That's your light. That's what's shining in you. Okay? The light there is the life of Jesus Christ. So meekness, as Gregory said there earlier, meekness is often translated gentleness or humility. The horses were just as strong inside the fence as they were outside the fence, but they were more useful inside the fence under the control of the farmer. Meekness is not weakness, but power under control. The Greeks often viewed meekness as a small campfire that brought warmth and comfort. Imagine yourself sitting out there by a small fire, and there's something about looking at a little fire, isn't there? Isn't that nice? Comforting, relaxing. They said that's a word for meekness. It's the fire's under control, and it's all good. One's emotions were under control as to bring good to the issues they faced in life versus inflamed, uncontrollable passions, which is referred to as a strange fire, that could do a lot of harm. Meekness was also illustrated by a gentle breeze. The right amount of wind at the right time can be so refreshing and pleasant, whereas a strong, sudden gust of wind on a fire can burn down thousands of acres of forest. Wow, that's out of control. When King David, under the sovereign rule of God in his life, he gave this testimony. He's resting in the sovereignty of God over his life, the absolute rule of God. Psalm 18:35. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden or held me up. Thy gentleness hath made me great. That's our word here, meekness of wisdom. God's wisdom will cause us to have that gentleness of spirit, total rest in him. Gaining wisdom and understanding with a genuine desire to do others good causes one to be lovingly gentle, even though some of the roughest roads in life. We know that we lack wisdom at times, all God's people say. Amen. We need it always, and God will give it to us if we truly desire to have it. So let's be wise and understanding that that's God's plan. He has the wisdom and he wants us to draw it from him. Amen. All right, let's pray for Pastor Tom and Jan, still having a little bout with the virus, some flu bug, I believe. And also Joel and Christina have it, their son and daughter-in-law. So, alrighty.